Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Danielle McCart. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Welcome. Good morning, New York sports fans. I'm Danielle McCartan. McCartan after midnight. I'll be talking all things New York sports with you till 6 a.m. on this early Sunday morning or late Saturday night if you're still out and about in the city that never sleeps. There were a lot of people out tonight, actually. And on the West Side Highway, who knew? I never knew. I looked to the right. I saw people playing an intense basketball game. So good for them. Maybe they're tuning in on their way home. I saw you guys. Or maybe you're just plain old working on a weekend like usual. Hey, me and Nick are too. We're coming to you live from the Mike Francesa studio here in Lower Manhattan. You guys know that number, 877-337-6666. And let's load them up with your best content only, please, as always. And thank you in advance. Special guest tonight coming up in the 4 a.m. hour will be the good friend of the show, reporter, producer, and podcast host extraordinaire for the New York Football Giants. Also the Knicks, too, here on The Fan, John Schmelk. So, like last week, we had Connie Carberg on. She was for Jets fans last week. Got a total breakdown of the Jets draft plans. This, tonight, at 4, probably 40, is going to be a can't-miss segment for Giants fans. So, if you wanted to close your eyes for a little bit, set your alarm, 4:40, John Schmelk coming up. We are going to evaluate the Giants' off-season acquisitions and see how they will impact, and we will formulate a 2021 NFL draft plan for Big Blue. Is there anyone that can save the Yankees from this hellish April? Demi Lovato, the answer to your question seems to be a resounding N-O, no. The Yankees, the supposed supermen of all things offensively, are again playing in a series against their kryptonite. And yeah, while it's cute to use this analogy, the fact of the matter is this. If the Rays are the team to beat, which they should eventually be, as reigning American League champions, the Yankees have not made any movement in improving upon their terrible performance against them last year, collectively. So far, the Yankees are 1-4 against the Rays in this 2021 season. In those games, Tampa Bay has outscored the Yankees 32-18. This is not rocket science. This is just not going to get it done. And furthermore, the Yankees have lost 4 of their possible 5 series this season. Even if they win later today with Gerrit Cole, they have already lost the series versus the Rays. In fact, the only series that they've won was against, guess who? The Baltimore Orioles, who most prognosticators had pegged as the worst team in the league. And it was not a sweep, by the way. And don't look now, but the Yankees are looking up at the Orioles in the AL East standings. In fact, the Yankees are looking up at every single team in the AL East from the literal bottom of the standings in the division. Or should I say fifth place? Does that make you feel any better? Too bad. I am not in the business, like Aaron Boone seems to be, of making anyone feel any better about the Yankees and their terrible, no good, very bad start to the season. Boone apparently ripped the team after Friday night's embarrassing loss And it's about time. Giancarlo Stanton said he was obviously very upset and rightfully so. Stanton on Saturday, 0 for 4, 3 strikeouts. Clint Frazier said, we need to come ready to go on Saturday. That was the message that I took from it. Poor Clint Frazier wasn't even in the lineup. Clearly, Boone's tirade, which lasted a few minutes, did nothing to change the outcome, with the Yankees dropping yet another one to the Rays, of all teams, 6-3. This team, like we talked about last week, still has no spark, never mind a fire. Boone in Saturday's postgame said, I feel like we were much more in the fight today. We need to play better, obviously, but today was a step in the right direction. Really, Aaron Boone? Well, I guess any game is better than what your team showed Friday night, but I don't know if you saw this, but on the season, your team hits 160. That's the batting average, 160 with runners in scoring position. In Saturday's game, 143, Aaron Boone. 1 for 7, that is, with 7 runners stranded. Can anyone, please tell me anyone, that could point out how Saturday's game was a step in the right direction. So what's the problem? Well, I asked you guys, and while my tweet, at Coach MCCARTAN, by the way, on Twitter, got 2,000 impressions, it got exactly 0 votes. Twitter was glitching Friday night, but it did get many replies, and that's why I didn't repost it. Most of the replies asked, where is the all-of-the-above option? I know it's all of the above, but I was looking to see where the vast majority of fans were allocating the blame. So maybe you can call up and answer me tonight. Instead, I asked, in effect, why is this team so infuriating to watch throughout the month of April? I then identified the top 3 Yankee team trends that I see anyway. So I guess which is most infuriating? That's the question. Which is most infuriating? A, sleepwalking at the plate. B, little league errors, or C, they had used, at that point, 3 pitchers through 5 innings. Here's what I think, and it goes deeper than that, and it incorporates a little bit of psychology. But, in essence, it boils down to this, which I think will be one of the main themes of the season. And keep an eye on it for the postseason if the Yankees do, in fact, get there. Ready for this? Did a little my own little research today in the Yankees' 9 losses so far this season. I thought this would be a trend, and I went and I looked. In the Yankees' 9 losses this season, their opponents have put up the first runs of the game 7 times, which means that in the games that the Yankees ultimately lost, they were playing from behind early on in 77% of the games. You ask, okay, what about the other 2 times? Well, the one, the Yankees jumped out to a 1-0 lead ahead of the Orioles in the bottom of the 3rd, and Baltimore came back in the very next frame and put up 2 runs and got ahead and won. And then the other game, the Yankees jumped out to a 1-0 lead on the Blue Jays in the top of, I think it was the 1st. The lead was gone by the bottom of the 2nd. Now, if you compare that to the games that the Yankees have won, they've jumped out to a lead 60% of the time and ultimately continued on to win the game. So what does that tell me? Maybe you didn't get it. What does it tell me? What does it tell you? It tells us that this team is built to take the lead and a majority of the time never let it go. Now, how can they do that on a consistent basis? I've got 2 solutions. One, reconfigure the batting order for the love of God. Gio Urshela, batting 8th, hit a 453-foot home run last Sunday after I got off the air with you guys in their win versus Tampa Bay. The following day, he was moved up by the Brain Trust to the 5 spot, went 0-for-3 with a walk against Toronto. That was the beginning of the end for his demotion back to, in Saturday's game, the 8 hole. Meanwhile, seeing H-I-C-K S next to the number 3 every single day makes me want to lose my lunch. 8-for-46, Aaron Hicks is. We talked about my ideal lineup last week live on air. I'll send it out to you again because the Yankees clearly haven't seen it yet. And the other thing is starting pitching. Let's take out a calendar and calculate how many games Gerrit Cole has left this season. Those are the W's. The rest of the wins? Well, there isn't a pitcher on this roster that can consistently deliver them. That's for sure. Not yet, anyway. Both of those pieces are controlled by Geppetto, Brian Cashman, who has not pulled the strings correctly recently. Instead of turning the Yankee Pinocchio into a real boy, it's become a real disaster, honestly. I just so happened to notice during Friday's game, Cashman was trending on Twitter across the entire United States. The one guy at Jim, and then there was a bunch of numbers, he said, Cashman was given a $200 million payroll, and he doesn't have a backup shortstop or a fifth starter. How is that possible? He asked. So I started thinking critically myself. Instead of signing Masahiro Tanaka and revamping the starting rotation after that, Cashman opted to let him go and to sign Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon, both of whom, as we've talked about, had significant injury concerns and big question marks coming into the season. A huge gamble on the number two and number three starters, as of right now, does not look like it's paying off. The team has hit 15 home runs through the first 14 games. Not what you want to see from a team that's constructed to hit home runs. Left-handed bats, where are they? Brian Cashman, in the same postseason presser in 2019, he said, the balance in the lineup is vitally important, but not at the expense, from my perspective, of the best player on the board, especially if those players possess the ability to go the other way with power. Well, here we are. Clint Frazier is benched for Brett Gardner. Aaron Hicks is nailed into that three spot. I can't watch it anymore. Why? Because they can bat lefty? And the defense. The Yankees, at this very moment, are ranked fifth in the league with 11 errors. Sticking Gleyber Torres out there at shortstop instead of luring D.D. Gregorius back was also a mistake. This backup first baseman plan is ridiculous. Mike Ford, by the way, for those of you guys asking, Mike Ford is still 2 days away from eligibility to come back from the alternate site. And where has Derek Dietrich been? Why is he, a guy in his ninth MLB season, banished to the alternate site? No one is even talking about him. I don't think so, other than my program here. He's got some spark. He's got some fire. And he also just happens to have a fielding percentage at first base of, 989 in 88 games. But all of the Yankees' roster moves are handcuffed by Brian Cashman's acquisition of Giancarlo Stanton years ago. This year, he's a $29 million designated hitter. The player who I am on the record, I'm one of the only ones on the record saying that the Yankees did not need him to begin with. All I'm saying is this. The general manager of the New York Yankees is unlike a Supreme Court justice. There is an expiry date. This is not a lifetime position. At what point do the Yankees decide to head in a different direction? And you might counter my point of view with, well, the Yankees also started 5-8 in 2019, finished 103-59. To that, I rebut, so what? For a team with World Series aspirations every single year, losing to the Astros in the ALCS that season is a failure, no matter how many wins that they accumulated in the regular season. While watching his postseason press conference, that same one in 2019, I remembered scratching my head when Brian Cashman said, we failed in our final game, but it was not a failed season. Really? It's actually been a failed decade plus. And that, again, is for a team that has World Series expectations pretty much every year. And with a payroll that is in the upper echelon of the league every year, year after year, there hasn't been a proportionate number of ticker tape parades down the Canyon of Heroes right down here since 2009. Remember, annual World Series expectations. I guess the good news is that it's cold day later today. And with every Yankees loss, mounts an increasing amount of pressure on Gerrit Cole to win every single time he takes the mound. That, as I've mentioned before, is not sustainable. And how about the Mets? landing in that literal blizzard in Colorado, 11:30 p.m. Thursday night. In Marcus Stroman's Instagram story, Kevin Pillar asks, what are we, the Green Bay Packers?
I got 99 problems, but a ain't one. Hit me.
Well, the Mets. Mets might have 99 problems, but a pitch ain't one for Jacob DeGrom. With exactly 99 pitches, 67 for strikes, Saturday afternoon from Jacob DeGrom, and in front of the many Mets fans at Coors Field, they have actually broken the DeGrom curse. The Mets came from behind to take the lead with four straight base hits and with Edwin Diaz striking out the side in the last frame. Don't look now. After that first game of the Saturday evening night doubleheader, the Mets were on pace to finish, by the way, 108-54. I know it's really early, but if only if all of the games were seven innings. Listen, the Mets lost the second one, but I don't know if many people even really care about that. Jacob DeGrom got his win. And actually, wait, the Mets have a few more seven-inning games coming on because they played a league low. Nine games. Following the announcement of the Rockies series opener because of the snowstorm, the Mets team Twitter posted a pretty good one. The people or person running it deserves a little bit of a bonus here. The tweet was, it said Washington, and then it had the face with the mask emoji. Then it had the word Philadelphia and the rain emoji, and Colorado and the snowflake emoji. And then they wrote, some teams will try anything to avoid facing DeGrom. With the eye roll emoji. Well, he was rained out of his start on Thursday, snowed out of his start on Friday, and finally took the mound in game one Saturday evening. On a full week's rest, Jacob DeGrom did Jacob DeGrom things, getting his first win of the season. 14 strikeouts in his second straight game, six innings pitched, three hits, three runs, although zero were earned. And last week I questioned whether or not Jacob DeGrom reached his boiling point. After this comment, after the game last Saturday night, he said, it's a team effort. We had a tough matchup today. We just got beat. Well, after a Daza sack fly in the fifth, DeGrom screamed into his glove, then gave up a home run to the very next batter, Tapia. I'll look into the dugout, and DeGrom looked straight ahead, silent and scary. Hitting 571 on the season, I was eating my dinner and thinking that Jacob DeGrom was probably looking at the lineup whiteboard and seeing McCann, himself, and Nimmo. I tweeted, you know Jake is saying, and probably out loud right now, keep me in there and let me do it myself. Well, Rojas didn't. But in fact, it is a team effort. McCann singled, and Almora pinch ran for him. Villar pinch hit for DeGrom, hit an RBI double. Nimmo singled. Lindor hit an RBI single. And just like that, the Mets took the lead for good. In the type of baseball that I like to see and watch, DeGrom notched his first win of the season. The Mets popped champagne in the clubhouse after the game. Just kidding. But I'm sure that they would if they could. What a gigantic relief to finally be able to stop pressing at the plate when their ace is on the mound. And speaking of the Mets, have you yet had a chance to read the article published in The Athletic on Friday afternoon? It's a sickening article, really, entitled, I've Barely Hit on You, Inside a Mets Culture Rotten Beyond Mickey Callaway and Jared Porter. Written by Katie Strang and Brittany, in Italian, it's Giroli. Probably Giroli, she probably pronounces it. And Ken Rosenthal was also a contributor. So, yes, there are more, corroborated by The Athletic, disgusting allegations of a toxic workplace environment in Queens. None of which, though, happened under the new owner, Steve Cohen. Except the fact that Sandy Alderson rehired one of the most staunchly accused offenders, Mets chief marketing, content, and communication officer, Dave Newman, who worked for the team from 2005 to 2018. Among many other things, a woman actually won a discrimination lawsuit for an undisclosed amount in 2015 after she sued the team for having workplace issues with Newman during and after her pregnancy. And we could talk more in detail about this, but most concerning is what Sandy Alderson said about the entire situation. These are quotes. Well, sort of. He said Newman's behavior was unacceptable, but he believes in second chances, and he vowed to tell Newman to, quote, knock it off. Newman's hiring was announced later that day. B, he said, let me try to make this a point as strongly as I can, okay? Not every instance involving men, women in the workplace is a capital offense, okay? Every time something happens, it doesn't mean someone has to be fired. People are getting executed, including women, by the way, for reasons that are this is a crazy word he used, but he used the word unjustifiable. And C, he asks, is there ever a statute of limitations on the coverage of some of this stuff? What? When Steve Cohen brought Alderson back as team president last November, Cohen remarked that he and Alderson shared a philosophy for building the team, quote, the right way. Did that just mean the on-field product, or did it represent the behind-the-scenes culture shift, too? Based on Alderson's comments on the matter, my vote is just for the on-field product. If this is the kind of environment that Alderson is fostering again, then maybe he should just step aside, too. Steve Cohen, it's your move. And maybe on the off chance that either you or Sandy Alderson is listening tonight, please give me a call. I have a few questions for you guys. Other than that, lots to do tonight, lots to get to. I have set the table for you guys. It is time to eat your 2:23 a.m. snacks. Can't wait to talk with you guys. 877-337-6666. I'm Danielle McCartan after midnight on The Fan in New York City.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.